Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 45, if you would please. Isaiah chapter 45, and preach it on this thought this morning, the gospel according to Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah. If you're not a student of the Word of God, then you're not familiar that in Isaiah, Isaiah is like a mini Bible in its entirety. There are 66 books in our Bible. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah. If you go to the book of Isaiah, you will find the entire synopsis of the Bible. You'll find every part of the Bible in the book of Isaiah. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, you'll find the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Isaiah said, 750 years before Jesus was ever born, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." 750 years before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem's manger, Isaiah looked down through the telescope of time, and he said, "There is coming a child that's going to be born into the nation of Israel, a Savior. His name is going to be Emmanuel, God with us. He will be the one that will go to Calvary's cross. He will be the one to die for our sins." And Isaiah saw that 750 years before the birth of Christ. But then I find in chapter 45, verses 5 and 6, I find the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me." I want to say to you this morning, this world is full of many gods. There are many, many gods today. You ride up and down the road. My wife and I, I had a wedding yesterday down in outside of Nag's Head. My nephew got married, and we were out doing the wedding and riding down through Nag's Head. There was a Christian Science reading room. You may not be familiar with that, but the Christian Science was started by a lady by the name of Mary Baker Patterson Eddy. And she didn't believe in God like we believe in God. It is a cult. And I rode by there and I saw that sign there. My friend, there are many religions today. There are many gods today. There are many people worshiping many things today. But may I say to you, there is but one God, and his name is Jesus. The only way to heaven is through the shed blood of the Lamb of God. Somebody say amen. I mean, my friend, there's a lot of people trying to worship many things today, but the only true God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah said this, there is but one God. Then I find in chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah, as you go down through there, I find the crucifixion of the Lord. Isaiah said, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely," oh listen now everybody, "surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." The Bible said it pleased God that he bruised the Lord Jesus for our sake. You realize today that Jesus never told a lie. Jesus never sinned. Somebody help me out this morning. Jesus never did anything wrong. Jesus never got angry without a cause. And yet my Savior went to Calvary's cross and he took upon him the sin of the world. He took your filthiness. He took your sin. He took your immorality. He took your anger and he laid it on himself. He bore our sins, carried our griefs, and paid for them on Calvary. And Isaiah said, "I saw that before it ever happened." But then I find in the book of Isaiah, the church of the living God. I don't know about you today, but I'm thankful for the church. Somebody say amen. I'm glad that we can come and assemble ourselves together on the Lord's Day, and we can sing the songs of Zion. We can hear the testimonies of God. We can uplift his precious name. We can get edified, and we can see sinners get saved in the church of the living God. And the Bible tells me in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Honey, I want to tell you something today. There's a lot of preaching going on today, but there's not a whole lot of Holy Ghost anointed preaching. Somebody help me out. I mean, friend, it takes a man that is called of God, anointed of God, preaching the inerrant, infallible word of God, for sinners to get saved and for people to get edified. It is by the anointing of the divine Holy Ghost of God that, my friend, this book becomes a living book. It becomes alive. Off the pages, they jump. The words become life. And thank God for that. But then he says there in that verse, he sent me to preach and proclaim that Jesus can set the captives free. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be in bondage. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to be under alcoholism. Thank God he came to set the captive free. Woo! I don't know if you get blessed by your own preaching, but I'm getting blessed this morning. I had about 4 hours sleep, so I'm good to go. Amen. Y'all think that's water up here. It's coffee with high caffeine. Amen. No, it's just water. Amen. Somebody help me out. Aren't you glad that he set the captive free? Oh, my soul. Some of you here, you are bound in sin. We sing that old song, 235 in the Stamps Book or Hymnal. He set me free. I was bound, but Jesus set me free. I was a slave, but Jesus set me free. I was bound by sin, but Jesus set me free. Now, if you know the Son of God, you can be free from your sin. But then I find in Isaiah 61, we're just getting an introduction right now. Amen. Isaiah 61 verse 3, I find the coming of the Lord. How many of you believe he's coming back again? Amen. I find the coming. In Isaiah 61 3, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, the salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. I got good news to you. The end of the book is still there, and Jesus is coming again. He hadn't come yet the second time. He came the first, but he's coming back the second. He's coming to redeem these old corruptible bodies. He's coming to raise the dead from the grave. He's coming to set in place his righteousness. And thank God, it will be a kingdom of righteousness. But then I find in Isaiah 65, I find the coronation of the Lord. Isaiah 65, 17 says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Hey, as beautiful, I saw a picture on the news the other day. I saw where they were, it said winter and autumn collides. There was a street somewhere, and on one side of the street was the autumn leaves. On the other side of the street, it was snow. And they said that winter and fall collided together on this one street somewhere. And you look at that, Sister Tammy, and you say, my, what a sight that is. And we took our seniors to the mountains recently. Oh, what a beautiful sight to see the leaves of autumn as God takes his paintbrush and begins to paint those maples and the silver and the reds and see all the beauty and see the waterfalls and see the beauty of God's creation. But I got news for you. There is coming a day that he's going to recreate this world in its entire beauty as it was in the days of Adam before the fall, before sin ever came in this world. And he tells me there is coming a day when the lion and the lamb will lay down together. There'll be peace. There'll never be peace until the Prince of Peace rules in peace. Isaiah 65, 25, listen to this verse. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. They can't do that today. That wolf will rip that lamb all to pieces. But there is coming a day that God's going to take that curse away. there's coming a day. The Bible said that a child will be able to play on the poisonous hole of an asp, of a poisonous snake. He'll be able to play with that snake, wrap it around his throat, wrap it around his head, walk down the street with it, and it won't do him any harm. Why? Because the Prince of Peace is going to reign in righteousness. I'm looking for that day when all will be peace. Here's what he says. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord, when he'll sit upon the throne. Now listen, listen right here. And Isaiah 65, 25, write it down. He'll sit upon the throne, and he says, and he will reign 1,000 years. I believe in the millennial reign of Christ. Y'all believe in that? Say amen. Bible tells us about it. And he'll reign 1,000 years, and the wolf and the lamb will feed together. Peace will be throughout all the world. Thank God for that. Amen. There won't be any more bloodshed. There won't be any more wars. There won't be any more killing. There won't be any more robbery. There won't be any evil in this world. I'm looking for that day when you don't have to lock your doors. I'm looking for the day when you walk down the street and you don't have to worry about somebody jumping you. I'm looking for that day. Hey, my wife and I stopped last night at a service station way down east somewhere. And I got out, and there was a carload of, young boys. And they were hooping and hollering. And my wife said, they're up to no good. I said, you got that right there. I mean, this was like 12:30 or so last night, late last night. And here they just, just rambunctious. You say, preacher, what'd you do? I just kept my eye on them. Amen. But I'm looking for that day that you don't have to worry about that. I'm looking for that day. Now, very quickly this morning, I know my time's going fast. I'll try to be brief as I can. Go with me to Isaiah 45. If I don't get through with it, I like what Brother Mays said one time. My messages, Sister Joanne, Brother Mays said they're like sticks of bologna. You cut them off at either end, they're still good in the middle. Somebody help me out. Isaiah 45, 22. Let's read that together if you would please. Isaiah 45, 22. And the Bible said, Isaiah 45, 22, and here's what he says. Look unto me, and be ye, everybody, if you've got a King James, and what? I can't hear you. Look unto me, all ye, and be what? Saved. Don't you like that word? Just by an amen. How many of you know you've been saved, and you've been redeemed, and you're on your way to heaven? Just by an amen. If you don't know that, honey, if you don't know that, then you're in a good place this morning. Amen. There's people here that love you. Jesus loves you. And he's got you here in the right place, right time. If you don't know him, today is the day of salvation. Don't you wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. By the way, tomorrow never comes. Y'all understand that. Tomorrow is always today. You say, I'm going to do something tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Think about it. It's always today. Monday's coming, preacher, Monday's coming. Wait a minute. You don't have no promise of tomorrow, do you? For what is your life? It's even as a vapor that appears for a little time, vanisheth away. Isaiah 45, 22. Let's look there for a minute. Look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the world. Aren't you glad that he can save from the uttermost to the guttermost? He can save and deliver and set free those that are held. I don't care what denomination, I don't care what religion, I don't care what you have done, I don't care how far you have gone. The blood of Jesus can wash you from all sin. And he says, verse 22, for I am God and there is none else. Let's take that verse this morning, and I'm going to preach to you on a little bit today on the gospel according to Isaiah. First of all, look if you would. Isaiah 45, 22 tells us how you can get saved. It tells us who can get saved. It tells us and what is the result of being saved. So quickly this morning, let's look. Number one, how do you get saved? Look what he said in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. The first word he says is what? Say that with me one more time. That is a key word. Go with me, please, in the Old Testament. And we may not get real far this morning, but that's okay. Turn with me to Numbers and chapter number 21. Numbers chapter 21. I want you to see something. I'm glad that the Bible is interwoven. I'm glad that the things in the Old Testament occur in the New Testament. Do you remember in John chapter number 3? There was a rich man, Sister Tammy. Rich man by the name of Nicodemus. And the same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus there, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said unto him, That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. And Jesus went on to tell Nicodemus, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now watch this. Go back to Numbers, as we just said there a minute ago. Here the Israelites have come out of Egyptian bondage. They've been set free. They've been delivered by the blood. The Passover lamb has been killed. The blood has been put on the doorpost over top of the lintel. And Moses, as a type of the Lord, has led them out of Egyptian bondage. Pharaoh has pursued after them, but has now died out there in the Red Sea. Now they're out in the wilderness. They're making their journey to the promised land. As they're making their journey to the promised land, they begin to murmur. They begin to gripe. They begin to complain. Moses, you brought us out here in this wilderness. You brought us out here to die in this wilderness. Moses, there are no McDonald's out here. Moses, there are no Arby's out here. Moses, there are no Pepsi Colas out here. Moses, all you're doing is leading us down a path of destruction, and we're going to die. Moses said, Listen, you better stop your complaining. By the way, hey, can I tell y'all something? You better concentrate on what God's done for you. You'll never be thankful for anything until you're thankful for what you already have. Amen? Somebody help me out. Say, preacher, I need this, I need that. Listen, the Bible said, Jesus said, if I clothe the lilies of the field, which are today and they're burned tomorrow, so will not I clothe you, O ye of little faith. If I keep the birds a singing, if I feed the sparrows, if I put bread out for the sparrows, don't you think that God is going to care for you? Amen. Well, I don't have everything I want. Well, you may, welcome to the club, amen. But you've got everything you need. Now, these Israelites, they begin to murmur and complain. They must have been Baptists. Somebody say amen. In Numbers chapter 21, the Bible tells me this. They began to look in verse 5. The people spake against God, against Moses. Wherefore ye brought us out into Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread. There's no McDonald's. There is no water. There's no Pepsis. There's no Coca-Colas. There's no tea. And our soul loatheth for some Merida bread. Amen? You say, how you know it was a Merida? Is there any other kind? Light bread. Amen. Don't y'all like good old Merida bread? That's the old fashioned that you can, you know, it's like a pillow on the top, and you get that in the summertime with a big old homegrown tomato and some Duke's mayonnaise. Son, now we're talking. Amen? Yeah, if you can find them today, amen. Hey, it tastes like cardboard now, but back in the summer, glory to God, them Purple Hull and them German Johnsons, and slice them boys and put them on a piece of light bread. Woo! Your tongue smack your brains out, amen. And these Israelites said, Moses, we want some of that we used to have. Hey, have you ever noticed things always look better when you don't have something? And they got this picture all out of kilter. They did not have everything they wanted down in Egypt. They were slaves down there. They were under a cruel master there. They were starving to death down there. But now the devil is putting their minds you had it a whole lot better back yonder than you do today. Has the devil ever told y'all that? Has the devil ever said, you know, if you hadn't got saved, if you didn't go to church, if you didn't tithe, if you didn't do what God wanted you, you'd have something? Honey, I got good news for you. You best serve God today. Amen. Woo! Brother Chip, I'm getting a blessing. And so they said, I wish we was back in Egypt. I wish we were back yonder sitting beside that big old onions and leeks and eating that stuff and garlic. I wish we was back down there, Moses. You brought us out here, we're going to die out in the desert. Can I tell y'all something? Where God guides, He provides. Amen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I thank God for every blessing I've had and the ones that are to come. I thank God for the strength. I thank God for every. It's only by the good. Hey, Sister Gwen, I wasn't gonna curse myself this morning when people said, "How do you feel?" I wasn't gonna tell them. And devil, just you plug your ears up for a second. I wasn't gonna tell them how bad I felt this morning, Brother Chip, because you know why? Because whatever comes out of this mouth is what the devil hears, and that's what he's gonna torment me with. People say, how do you feel? I wasn't going to tell them I woke up this morning and Sister Brenda here, I had congestion down here. I wasn't going to, listen, by the good grace of God, I am healed of the Lord. Amen. And it's by the good grace of God. You know what? The devil, Brother Chip, the devil, this early this morning, the devil said, you don't feel good. Why don't you call somebody? Why don't you just go ahead and lay in bed this morning? I could have, Phyllis. I could have. And I would have, I would have been justified. But I'm glad I come. Hey, what? Hey, sometimes you lose out on the blessings of God simply because you get your eyes out of focus and you're looking on your present circumstances and you forget what God's done for you. You forget how He brought you out of the land of bondage, how He delivered you, how He's blessed you, how He's put you here, how He's given you strength and encouragement and blessings and manifold blessings of God. Well, let's move on. We're going to get through one of these this morning. So in verse 6, y'all still with me? And the Lord sent what? Fiery serpents. I don't know what kind they were. I know one thing, son. When they bit you, it hurt. When they bit you, they died. Watch what happens now. And the Bible said in verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel, they checked out. They died. And so as these serpents, these snakes started crawling out, they was everywhere. They started coming into the camp and people were walking out and they were getting snake bit and that old serpent attached to their leg and people were screaming and people were crying. Babies and young people and children, they were getting bit. Mamas and daddies were getting bit and many people died from the snake bites. But God had mercy. And so, in verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, are y'all still reading this with me? Read this next phrase with me. We have... Oh, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have done that. No! We have sinned against God. And so he says there, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Talking about Moses. By the way, can I just throw this in here right now? You best be careful how you talk about the man of God. I'm not saying that for my sake. I'm saying that for any preacher's sake. Amen? Yeah, you best be careful. Because, you see, the Bible gives us a warning. Touch not mine anointing. I know there's some guys out there that's not doing what they ought to do. But let the Lord take care of them. Amen? And so here, the people said, we've sinned. We've spoken against God. We've spoken against the man of God. And so here, God in His grace. Now watch what happens. And so they said, pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole.
And it come to pass that it, can y'all read this with me? That everyone, not just the select few, not just the Baptists, not just the white people, not just the good people, but he said everyone that looks to that snake on the pole, he'll do what? Say that with me, everybody. He'll live. Read it down. Shall live. So in verse 9, watch this. Y'all that study your Bible, I'm going to ask you a question here. And if you know the answer, say it out loud. And some of you know this. Brass in the Bible is a symbol of God's judgment. And so here, look what happens. Moses made a fiery serpent and put it on a pole, a brazen serpent, in verse 9. And so he said, I'm going to put this snake on a pole. By the way, y'all, those of you in medical profession, y'all know what that symbol, you know, there's some controversy over where it came from, but I believe it came from right here, because that, you know, you got two serpents on a pole in a medical field. I believe it came from right here myself. Now, y'all can argue that, and y'all can dispute that if you want to, and y'all can be wrong if you want to, but I believe it came from right here. Now, watch this in verse 9. And when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, watch this. I'm done. Moses, God said, go out and make a brazen serpent. Make a snake out of brass and put it on a pole and hold it up and lift it up between the people. And he said, all you got to do, Brother Chip, if you get snake bit, all you got to do is look. Oh, you don't have to climb the pole. You don't have to make another snake. You don't have to bow down to that snake. All you got to do is look to that brazen serpent and you'll live. Some of them did. Well, some of them didn't. Listen to me, I'm about done. I promise you. You know what you have to do today to get saved? Look to Calvary. You don't have to make another cross. You don't have to crawl on your knees. You don't have to kiss somebody in their pajamas. You don't have to put money in the plate. You don't have to do anything, but you got to look to the one that was lifted up. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, as Moses was lifted up, that serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that if you look unto him, you'll live. Well, what about all that crowd that didn't? I can see him now, Brother Chip. I can see a daddy right now. All of a sudden, he's out there working on his truck. He's working on something out there. He's working on his tractor. He's got his oxen out there. And all of a sudden, this snake comes crawling out, and he don't see him. And all of a sudden, Brother Craig, that snake attaches to his calf. And all of a sudden, that venom goes into him. And he goes, oh, God, help me. And he looks down, and that fiery serpent, he's done bit him. And he's crawling off into the bushes. And his youngin' says, Daddy, all you got to do is look at that brazen serpent and you'll live. And that daddy says, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I mean, what good? Hey, listen, what good is it going to do me to look at some brazen snake on a pole somewhere? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my pocket knife out of here. And I'm going to cut my leg open. And I'm going to get somebody to suck the poison. You come over here and suck this poison out for me, all right? There's got to be a better way. I'm not falling for some snake on a pole somewhere. And you know what? He died. You know why? Because he didn't look. Honey, you can try everything in this world. You can try to join a church. You can get water baptized. You can put money in a plate. You can try to be good. And my friend, you'll wake up one day in a devil's hell. All you got to do is look to Calvary. All you got to do is cry out to him that was lifted up 2,000 years ago, shed his blood, a crown of thorns on his brow. His back was beaten to smithereens. The ribbons of flesh hung. The blood coursed down. But he died so that you could live. And all you got to do is look. All you got to do is look. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, for there is none other. The first step, salvation, is look. I don't have time to preach the rest of it. I'll maybe pick it up next week. But here's the best part.
Who can be saved? Look at that verse right there, Miss Timmy. Who can be saved? Y'all read this with me. All the ends of the earth. Right? Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me and be ye saved. Who can be saved? All the ends of the earth. I'm glad, Miss Tammy, that God did not exclude Frank Thacker. I'm glad God did not exclude Steve Rowe. Salvation is for whosoever will. All you have to do is look. You say, preacher, can you prove that? Jesus himself said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, John 3:16. My friend, when Nicodemus believed on Jesus and was saved that day in John chapter 3, that same gospel is still being preached today. All you got to do, and you say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. I don't need to know how far you've gone. I don't need to know what the sin you've committed. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's precious Son, cleanses us from all sin. Your responsibility is to look and be ye saved. Can we bow our heads, please, for a moment of prayer?